So today we are continuing our series, Keys to 2018, as we look at some of the biblical keys to get us started for a new year. Today we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 31, and you can find that on page 228 in your pew Bible, or if you have your own Bible, 1 Samuel 17, and I'll give you just a second to get there. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm picking up the story here in verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of them, of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of the Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. And then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag. In the pouch, his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving God, reveal to us by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit what you would have for us to learn or hear today. Amen. So last week we looked at keys to 2018, and we looked at seeking and surrender. And we said that when you seek God, you must also then find yourself willing to surrender to his will. And I'm sure some of you this week, that was a focus of yours and you really tried. But what you will learn, if you did not learn this past week, is when you seek God, when you surrender to his will, you will find giants in your path. You will find giants in your life that try to block you from growing closer to God. Can anybody think of a time like that in their life? It's safe to say, whether we want to admit it, whether we know it or not, we're all facing giants even this morning. So if we're going to seek and surrender, we must also have to be prepared to be bold and confident as we go into battle for God. Now, I'm picking up in the middle of the story, and if you went to Vacation Bible School growing up, or you went to Sunday school, or you've heard all the stories, you know the story. But if that's not your background, I just want to kind of fill in some of the other story, because I'm picking up kind of in the middle. Goliath had been scaring, been terrifying Saul and his armies for over 40 days, coming out night and day, threatening them, challenging them. You defeat me and my army will surrender and be your servants, but if I kill you, you will become our servants. And not one person had the nerve to get out of line and fight this giant, this Goliath, by measure, say, was over 9 foot tall. I imagine Andre the Giant, but a little bigger, for those of you wrestling fans. Some of you are nodding. You know what I mean. It's okay to talk about wrestling in church. But then David is sent by his dad, Jesse, to take food to his brothers. He's got 3 older brothers fighting, or not fighting. He's there. They're there, but they're not doing any fighting. And so he takes it, and David's a little bit intrigued. So he starts poking around to find out what's going on, and he hears this threat from Goliath, and he is shocked that this man is threatening and defying his God, and nobody's doing anything about it. Then you know that David's brother actually gets mad at him because David's interested in helping. That happens sometimes. So David tells his brother, I'm just asking a question. Why are you getting mad at me? So they go back and forth. Well, then Saul finds out David's talking like he's willing to fight. So Saul says, send him to me. And then we pick up our story. A young boy willing to take on Goliath. We all face giants in our lives. The church universal faces giants in our path to become disciples. And our church here at Emmanuel faces giants. Some of the giants we create ourselves. Some of the giants the world just throws at us. Some of the giants happen for no reason and they cause us to stumble. Did you notice that there were 3 ways that people responded to the giants within the passage? You had those that were too scared to move and get out of line. They just stood there and did nothing. You had the brother who was angry because somebody was willing to step up and do something. Then there's David. And looking back over the past few weeks and as preparing for this series, I started looking at some of the giants in my life that I've seen that God's defeated in the past. And my question was, he defeated him in the past, why do I still have to deal with him today? Why can the giants just not disappear? Why, if I'm being a faithful disciple and I'm doing all that I can, do I still have to face giants? And the answer is because we live in a broken and sinful world where the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I started looking this story and how fascinating it was to me, and there's so many valuable lessons that we can pull from this. But as I studied and I prayed over this passage, and it's a long passage, so thank you for bearing with me as we got through that, but it really struck my heart that if in 2018 we're going to become and make disciples, then we're going to have to be bold and confident for Jesus. We're going to have to be willing to be the one that steps out of line and runs into the battlefield. Do you want to know what my favorite part of the story is? I know you do, so I'm going to tell you. It's verse 48. When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. It's overlooked, but he ran quickly. It doesn't say he tiptoed out. It doesn't say he walked out. It says he saw him and he ran to meet him. We were once playing a high school rival of ours, and I won't mention the name just in case there's any ties to that school. I still despise them to this day. Love the people, not the team. So they're not in Spartanburg County, okay? I'll throw that out there. But a big rival of my local high school. And before the game, I remembered back to my sophomore year. I was on crutches. And the fans, when we were at this place, they started throwing things at me. Rocks. Batteries. I'm on crutches. I'm a little 10th grader. But I made a vow that day, if I'm ever healthy enough to come back to this place and play again, they will pay for this. 2 years later, my coach came up and I was acting out of character and he said, sit down or you're not playing. I mean, I was going crazy. I'd been just stewing on this for 2 years. I'm going to make him pay because I got hit with a rock on crutches. Y'all should have seen me trying to get up that hill on crutches. Big old knee brace on. It's awful. And our coach said these words. Coaches say this all the time. You can't get too wound up and waste your energy at the beginning of the game. He's right. I want to win. So I sat down. We go to take the field. Next thing I know, I'm standing on the 50-yard line behind the captains, waving at the crowd like this. And I'm supposed to be on the sideline with my team. One of the most embarrassing moments of my playing career. Now, we won the game. But I knew what it meant. I couldn't wait to get out there and start this game. I couldn't wait to play this team so that I could get revenge for what they had done in the past. We all have giants. Now, not all of us are going to make a fool of ourselves by running out in the street or out in the middle of the field. But we've all got a decision to make. So you may be sitting there today and it's very clear what your giant is. As soon as you read the passage, as soon as the Holy Spirit put something in your mind, in your heart, and you know what giant you face. There's some of us that we're saying he's not talking about this. That's your giant. If you're trying to justify to yourself that it's not a giant, it's a giant. See, giants are anything that slow us, that block us, that prevent us from becoming more like Jesus. We've all got them. But we've all got to make a conscious decision on how we will handle them. We will either be terrified and afraid and stand and do nothing. We will be mad at those willing to do something and to help. Or we'll be bold and confident. We'll sprint out into life, ready to fight and live our lives to glorify Christ. See, giants are scary. They're terrifying. But here's why David was different. Here's why David was different. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy. And he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, the Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine. Do you see why David was bold and confident? It's because God had already saved him from the paw of the bear and the lion. You know, we always say don't look in the past. David actually looked in his past. And he looked, and when he saw is God was faithful, God was faithful, God was faithful, God will be faithful. He saw that every time in his past when he needed God, God was there. So why would this one not be any different? This past summer, I let a sister of mine, I won't name her name, she has the same birthday as me. And she talked me into signing up for this series of 5Ks. And for those of you that are smart and you're not into running, it's a 3.1-mile race. And we were going to do one in June, July, and August. Can you think of anything more miserable? June, July, and August. Now, June went pretty well. Now, my time was slow, not my best. I used to be a lot faster, used to be in better shape, but it was good. I survived. I wasn't even all that tired. I didn't die. But then July came, and I looked back to the June race, and I had only ran three times between June and July. So my time got worse. And there were times I wanted to die. It was hot. I was miserable. Come August, I look back to the July race, and I hadn't ran one time. And I just got back from vacation at the beach that day. So I get in the car that night. She says, "You don't have to do it." "I got to do it. I paid for this. I ain't wasting my money." And I get halfway through that race, and I think I'm actually praying that this will be the big one. "Lord, take me home. This is not of you, and I want no part of it." But at some point, it registered in my mind, you didn't die last time. You're probably not going to die this time. Now, you're miserable. But if you finished last time, you'll finish this time. And I kept telling myself that. You finished last time, you'll finish this time. And then I came around the turn and I could see the finish line. And then I heard the guy say, "And here comes the last one." But that's what happens in our lives. As we get ready and we have to decide, I'm either going to be afraid of what's standing in front, whatever it is for you. An illness, an addiction, a temptation. I don't know what your giant is. I know what my four or five are. One of them almost got me this week. One of them, I decided I'm not going to fight that joker anymore. I'm tired of it. And then I found five smooth stones. Because this is the Lord's fight. So you all face a giant. And what I want you to do is I want you to think back to the most miserable times of your life and ask you this question: did God get you through it? Church, the answer is yes, because I see you sitting here. So if he got you through that one, why won't he get you through this one? You know, he's never changed. It's the same God. The same God that created everything formed you before you were born. He sent his son to die for you. So why would he not be faithful this time? But you got to decide whether you're going to stand there, whether you're going to be mad, or whether you're going to run quickly. Please don't think that your giants aren't big deals. That's why we call them giants. They are the scariest, the darkest moments of our lives. But with God, you will defeat them. Whether that's forgiving someone, forgiving yourself, whatever that looks like for us as a church. Church, look back just in the last 2.5 years. Some of you still don't think God's capable of doing things here. You know why I know that he is? Because I look back to June 28th of 2015. And I see we took one step. And guess what? God was there and we were standing on the promises of God. Then we took another one. And guess what? We landed on the promises of God. And then we took another one, and then we took another one, and then we took another one, and then we took another one. Look back and see all that he has done in your life and in the life of this church, and tell me, why won't we run forward? See, David had assurance that God was going to be with him. He didn't need anything but God and a couple rocks. Really just needed one, didn't he? And everybody else. How would you feel if you were standing there watching all this armor and David just won with a rock? That's what God does. If you've got faith for mustard seed, he can move a mountain. If you're willing to take a rock and run at your giants, you'll watch them fall on their face. If you've got your text still open, look at verse 12. I know I didn't read verse 12, but look at verse 12. Now David of Bethlehem. Where was David from? You know who came from the line of David and was born in Bethlehem? His name was Jesus. He called himself the Good Shepherd. And he killed the biggest giant any of us will ever face. And that's the cost of our sins. If he's willing to beat that one, he'll beat whatever giant you're facing this morning. If you want to have a successful 2018 as you grow in your faith. That's what I'm talking about here. Keys to growing in your faith. You're going to have to be bold and confident in facing your giants. Now, there's some stones on the altar. And I didn't pass them out for this reason. David trusted God and got up and didn't care what anybody thought of him, and he ran out. So we're going to pray over these stones, and then we're going to sing. And if you feel led, I want you to come pick up a smooth, small stone. And I want you to put it somewhere in your house, in your car, in your pocket, in your purse, and let that be a reminder that the God that has slayed every giant that has ever existed is with you, he is for you, and he will protect you in all things. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.